The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated. Good morning and Happy New Year. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker and owner, in with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and Jessica Schwab.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
We are here every weekend to answer your real estate questions and discuss numerous real estate topics. Every Saturday and Sunday, we have a full-time real estate office with 12-plus realtors, and we have been listing and selling for over 40 years.
You've been listing and selling for 40 years?
Well, I haven't, but the office has.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing it for 17 years.
Okay.
Feel free to email us at questions@jruddy.com or stop by and visit us at
111 West Drinker Street in Dunmore, Pennsylvania, Dunmore Corners.
Or you can call us.
You can call us toll-free at 1-888-399-JACK. That's 888-399-5225.
Or visit us at jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com to view our listings or to search the MLS. So what do you want to talk about today?
Sprinklers.
Sprinkler systems.
Yes. Not lawn sprinklers.
Okay. Do you mean the ones that now are mandatory in new construction?
Yes.
And why do you think that happened?
Why do you think they included it in the, I don't know. We were talking about this the other night. We were trying to figure out why they did it. Why do you think they did it?
Well, it was one of those things that the House of Representatives was supposed to vote on, and it was supposed to happen the week after the election, and we were all hoping, realtors that is throughout the state, we were hoping that we would be able to delay it for yet another year, but because it wasn't voted on, it's just going to be part of 2011, and it's going to be part of any kind of new construction on 1 to 2 family homes.
So all it's going to do is just going to add to the cost of building a new home. I mean, I understand. I was a New York City fireman for 20 years. I understand the theory behind having sprinklers in there to save lives, but I think smoke detectors are just as effective, if not more effective, than, well, at suppressing a fire. I would say a sprinkler is absolutely the only way to go, but getting people out for public safety, for personal safety, would be smoke detectors.
Well, it goes into a lot more than I think it should be an individual choice. And that was one of the arguments, that this is something that the consumer should be able to choose. It shouldn't be forced upon them. But at this point, it's going to have to be an all-new construction. And I think one of the things that the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors was looking at is this going to possibly eventually be something that is going to be mandatory on existing structures? Is it going to have to, at some point, be addressed?
I can't see how you could make it retroactive to all the private residences.
Well, it was a point of concern.
Oh my God.
But it's not that way now. But it has to be in 2011 on all new construction. So anybody that's pulling permits to build has to, this is part of what they're going to have to do.
So I won't have money for my air conditioning or
Something's got to go. Because they estimate that this is going to increase the cost $1 to $1.50 per square foot.
Nothing goes to the low side.
Okay.
And we'll go the high side on everything.
So they're figuring between $8,000 and $12,000 additional cost for just the sprinkler system. So yes, something's got, is probably on a budget for a new construction, something's going to got to, there's going to have to give, whether it be the going down from a 3-car garage to maybe a 1-car garage, or eliminating something, hardwood floors in a room that you wanted, or the central air or the central vac. Something's going to have to give.
The problem with sprinklers in personal residences, I think, is you have a possibility of the accidents. I've been to many times, well, they have been in all the commercial occupancies, where sprinkler heads were going off, and sometimes they were going off for hours and hours, and it would just be running from one floor down to the next. The water goes to the lowest place, and it's causing damage on the floors, damage on all the furnishings and the electrical system. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities here. You have the heads are exposed, Well, I don't know how the system is going to be done, if it's going to be recessed heads, but I think there's a lot of possibility there for damage if one of the heads goes off inadvertently.
Well, there's malfunctions on any system. You know, look at burglar alarm systems. And
yeah, but if the burglar alarm system goes off, it doesn't run through two floors.
No, it doesn't damage, but there are, you know, on a system that's in a house, like any kind of system can malfunction at any time. I mean, nothing is foolproof, would you say?
No, of course not.
Okay, so on a sprinkler system, there's nothing like water damage, and we've seen it. You know, roofs leaking, and when it occurs in drywall and floors get warped, they get bent, you have to gut and redo. What about electrical? When it gets into the electrical, what do you do?
You have to replace it. What do you do? You can't use water and electric, don't mix. You can't be turning on a light switch when it's full of water. It'll cause another fire.
Well, God forbid you're out of the state, out of the area, out of the country, and this is just going and going and going. I mean, could you imagine coming back and opening your door and
I think it's just government shoving one more regulation down people's throats. I mean, we redid our house, and we talked about it, but it was never really a real consideration. I mean, it came up, but we weren't going to do it.
I think it makes sense on commercial occupancies and multifamily dwellings when there's like these
Absolutely.
Multiple income properties, that, you know, tons of apartments or something like that. I think that makes sense. But to do it on a residential home, I don't agree with it. But, I mean, it is what it is, and we're going to have to deal with it. But here we are, and it's and at a time, I don't think that the timing really is the greatest, because the housing industry has really suffered a lot in the last several years. And here's an interesting fact. Building permits in Pennsylvania have fallen to 5,823 in July 2009 from a high of 21,097 in July 2004. So, and between 2007 and 2009, home sales declined 30%. So, it just doesn't make sense that this is occurring at this time. We need help. We don't need, you know, further problems in this market, but here it is, and it's, I know, Virginia is supposed to be repealing it. That's something that came across my desk, and I hope that's the way Pennsylvania goes, but I guess that remains to be seen.
I agree. There was that, I was looking at a statistic, and it said 51%, where is that? 51% of those surveyed said public safety is more important than public property rights. I don't know.
Private property.
Private property rights. But it said 67% say they would prefer a smoke detector system over a mandatory sprinkler system if they were to build a new home.
A smoke detector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Everybody's got a budget. Say you got a budget for $125,000. Now you're going to use almost $10,000 of it on a sprinkler system?
Right.
What are you going to forgo? You're going to forgo your paved driveway, your landscaping. What are you going to give up?
What are you giving up?
You're going to have to drop something. I wouldn't want to.
No.
To be perfectly honest. I mean, I think smoke detectors have been, and you know, in operation for how long now? And they work. And they're not costing you, what would you say, $10,000 out of pocket?
Absolutely not. When they're hardwired with the battery backup and they're all interconnected, they're very effective. If mm-hmm. one goes off, the whole building goes mm-hmm. off. Now, if I'm on the third floor of a property and it goes off in my basement, my sprinkler, how am I going to know?
No.
Until I hear the water running?
Right. Very true.
Well, in a recent conversation I had with someone, they said smoke detectors save lives. Sprinkler systems are supposed to save the property, but if they malfunction, are they really saving the property?
And how much is it costing you down the road? Like, how touchy, as a former firefighter, how touchy are they?
The heads are designed to go off. I mean, they get right. enough heat in them, and then they let go, and they let...
Okay,
they're designed
so
to release water.
I let Jeremy cook, and we have to...
Well, it's usually a heat. You need enough heat to build...
a huge mess?
No, but you need enough heat to build up at the head to pop it so the seal would break, so the water would come off. I worked as a fire warden in Bear Stearns in Manhattan, and they had, and I worked in an electrical room and the computer room, and my job was to make sure that the sprinkler system never, ever went off. That
ever.
Was ever, ever, because it was all, it was their brain center there, so they had a type of a system, it was a dry system. So it's different than the kind you would have in your house. It was charged with air, and it had a heat detector that, when the heat detector was activated, it would put water into the system, and then the heat head would go off. But if it would have damaged their electrical stuff, it would have screwed them up really good.
Big time.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, and we are talking about the mandatory sprinkler system installation on new construction. That is going to be in effect as of now, January 1st, 2011.
So if you start building your house today, now how's that going to work too for houses that are under construction right now? Will they have missed it, or will they have to go back?
Yeah, as long as they pulled their permits in 2010, they're okay.
They're okay.
They're right. Okay.
It's when the permit was pulled, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So it's from here on out.
That's it.
If you have a building permit. What about renovations?
Well, we had that discussion, quite honestly, because I don't, that's not new construction. However, what we did on our property, I would be very curious as to how they would have seen our property.
Me too.
Because we took it right down to it was a total demolition inside. Yeah, to the studs.
Yeah, the framework.
I'm thinking the permit was for a renovation. It wasn't for new construction. Okay. We didn't do any additions. We just renovated what
was
there.
You never know. You just don't know how these...
How a borough would go and give you a hard time with a permit? Never. Never.
Doesn't seem...
Oh, my God. Where do you think you live? In Pennsylvania?
I know. It doesn't seem possible. Well, we're headed towards a break, but before we do so, we like to review a listing. And this listing is Stephanie Silvestri's from Century 21 Jack Ready. The property address is 1040 West Oak Street, and that's in Old Forge. It's a two-story, which was constructed in 1999. The list price is $195,000, seven rooms, three bedrooms, two and a half baths. It has 2,050 square feet. Annual taxes are about $2,300. And it's a feeling of country in this neighborhood, and it's only one block from the main road, so it's conveniently located, well-maintained. A lovely front yard, large kitchen with an island and seating and eating area with doors to a deck, nice size deck. Has a formal dining room, and the family room is off the eating area of the kitchen. There's closets everywhere.
Yay.
I love closets.
Girls, women love closets. They put all their stuff in there.
Yeah, never enough closets. Mm-hmm. And it's well insulated, and there's a large lower level which is ready and studded for finishing, and they just replaced the water heater in 2010. So again, that's 1040 West Oak Street, Old Forge, $195,000.
Sounds like a nice house.
Yes, very nice. Pretty looking, colonial style. So it's break time, and we will be back shortly with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Gordy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
When selling your property with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, you'll experience the gold standard. Their network is your edge, where experience and expertise intersect with your real estate goals and dreams. They know and understand you want to sell at the right price with as few worries as possible. It's reassuring to know Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has been guiding clients down the golden path of selling for over 40 years. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate makes your dreams a reality by maximizing the exposure of your property here and around the nation. Harvesting the power of the internet, they'll shepherd you through every step of the selling process from start to finish, from marketing, the offer, the inspection, the contract, then the close. They're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and focused on every detail so you achieve the highest level of service you deserve. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate at 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Or visit www.jruddy.com, where they work to champion your best interests all the way.
Hello, we're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Again, I'm Jackie Ready, broker owner, in with Pat Devaney.
Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year. And Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Happy New Year to you.
Okay, so for today, thank you. Same to you.
Absolutely.
We have been talking about the sprinkler system that's mandatory now on all new construction, single family homes and two family dwellings.
The plumbers are happy.
I think that's it.
That's about it.
Maybe insurance companies, too.
Insurance companies, too, until they get the bills for all the malfunction.
The water damage.
The water damage.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's going to happen. That's
$25,000 in flooring. Goodbye.
Okay. There are some stats out and about serious delinquencies, and I just think it's noteworthy to say that...
Serious mortgage delinquencies?
Mortgage delinquencies. There are serious delinquent loans, and a serious delinquent loan is considered anything that is 90-plus days late.
Okay.
Or in foreclosure.
So, at the end of September, there was 4.3 million seriously delinquent loans across the country.
Wow.
4.3 million homes. Wow.
32% of those delinquencies have been in that category for 12 months or longer.
So wow.
That's about 1.4 million.
And the average days delinquency sits in foreclosures has grown from 319 days to 484.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is what's driving the market down.
Down, down, down. Because when a home gets into foreclosure and it loses its value once it becomes real estate owned, you know, nobody's living in it.
Mm-hmm.
All the services are turned off, water, heat, electricity, everything. Now that you can't sell the home as I would as if it were, you were living in it, and I could say, okay, here's a $200,000 home. Everything works perfectly. You know, now I have to turn around and sell that house for maybe, what, $125,000? The same property.
I just did a market analysis on a property in Scranton. I won't say where. And I was doing the research on it, and four out of the six comparable sales were foreclosures.
Really?
Yes. Which the value, so the value of this property I was doing was coming in lower than what they owed. Based on, and I mean, these were immediate in the neighborhood, within that block, a block down the street, mostly right there in that vicinity. And this is what I had to deal with in terms of market value and what was happening in that surrounding area. And the seller wasn't happy, naturally. But this is what's driving the market.
They say foreclosures started to decline slightly in December. But declined from what? From historic highs?
Yeah.
So is it really, at least
it's not actually a decline. It's just not quite as bad as it was.
That's about it.
More or less.
And it said foreclosure to real estate owned, where it actually went to foreclosure, increased to new highs in September. Wow.
NAR, the National Association of Realtors, also does research, and they're saying that in mid-December, initial jobless claims continue to improve, which is a good sign. We do really need
the jobs.
Employment situation to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Yes.
We don't have jobs. We don't have anybody making any money.
Or making anything, really.
That's right.
Now, again, this is a national statistic, but they're saying that good news came out of the housing starts, which is new construction, and that's a 3.9 increase they saw in November.
Okay.
But that's across the country?
That's national, right. So that's across the country. The largest increase in housing starts was in the Midwest, which posted a 15.8% increase. And then the following were the South and the West regions, which were up 2.3 and 2.1%.
And the Northeast is?
It fell 2.5%.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not so good.
Not so good.
Maybe they wanted to get all their housing starts in before the first of the year so they didn't have to put sprinklers in.
Yeah.
Let's see what housing starts are in January. Well, nobody starts housing in January anyway, so.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that goes along. But highlights from the 2010 National Association of Realtors profile of home buyers and sellers. This is interesting. Very interesting. It's nice to know who's buying, who's selling,
mm-hmm.
and the demographics. So, of course, that tax credit that went on last year had a lot to do with who was buying. And one of the most important changes reflected in the year during the year was the share of first-time home buyers.
50% of home buyers were first-time home buyers compared to 40% a year earlier.
Really?
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that? In Scranton, they have all those first-time home buyer programs. So what was that?
OECD. Well, the first-time home buyer program in the city of Scranton.
Right. And OECD, there's lots of programs that go on. Lackawanna County has one also.
But this was the largest share of first-time homebuyers in more than 19 years.
Now, let me ask you this, though. If all these people are first-time homebuyers, now I'm sure, obviously, a portion of them are people who are just coming of age, if you will, or whatever the case may be, and they're ready to buy their first home. But are do you think a lot of them are people who maybe couldn't get a house before?
Well,
they're getting houses now.
Excellent point. Because
that's the next line we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
That works
out. How did you know that?
I don't know, but it just kind of clicked in my head, because then what's that going to do to the market if then these people who couldn't get houses before probably couldn't get them for a reason? Is it going to continue to make foreclosures or the percentage or number of foreclosures rise? You know, what are we going to see within the next 3 or 6 months?
Well, you touched on a lot of stuff there, but the biggest thing it says is improved affordability. Affordability, say that 10 times fast, has opened the home buying market to those who have not been able to purchase a home in the past. You know, so it's got its pros, that declining home prices. So people who couldn't afford it before, all of a sudden now they can afford a house. They're in the market.
Because the interest rate is so low. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, and we're talking about the 2010 profile of home buyers and sellers as provided by the National Association of Realtors.
Right, and you were just talking about interest rates, how low they are, and we have some information about mortgage interest rates are starting to trend upward. They were at historic lows, but with everything going on,
they're starting to trend up.
Inch,
just a little bit at a time. So now is a good time to get in. Go ahead. You want to talk about this?
Well, this information was pointed out by someone, Melanie McLean. She's one of my favorite real estate instructors, but she just recently posted that. And this is so interesting to me. An increase from 4.5% to 5% on a $200,000 loan at 30 years raises the payment by, that half point, raises the payment by 6%.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a 1% then equates to 12%.
Right.
And 1.5% increase equates to 18%. Right. So 2% equates to 25%. If there are buyers that are fence sitting but have excellent credit, good jobs, and they're waiting for the prices to bottom out.
They have.
Yeah, exactly. So strike while that iron's hot.
So if I could get a mortgage now at 4.5% for $1,000 a month, if that goes up two points to 6.5%, now that same mortgage is going to be $1,250 a month. It's going up 25%, it says.
Right.
Wow. And now first, we got the mortgage. We got a mortgage 2 years ago. 2.5 years ago, it was 6.5%. And we thought we were doing okay. Then that's not that long ago.
No. And we refinance. Then we refinance. Then we refinance.
We're down to 4.25%.
There you go.
Yeah. So, okay. And then, you know, a lot of information that was also pointed out is that the research was centered around single home buyers.
What do you mean, single home buyers?
People that aren't tied down.
They're not
really
married.
Not married. Single.
Not being told what time to be home.
Free.
Who does that?
Oh, the days.
Freedom. You know, there's a lot of words that come to mind.
Yeah, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Okay, so there's an increase in the single buyers out there. Single buyers in 2001 accounted for 22%. Of the home buying market, and that share grew to 32% in 2010.
So one out of three buyers now are single?
Single female buyers has also been expanding. I like that. Independence. And held stable at 20% in 2010. How about single male home buyers?
What are they, 12%?
They climbed to an all-time high of 12%.
Don't even want to be tied down with a house. They want to rent and move on.
Okay, but the share of married couples, what happened to those people?
Did they get divorced?
They declined. And they probably did. That number declined to 58%. It was
really?
At 1.68%.
Wow.
Mm-hmm, in 2001. Hmm. Why do they buy? Why do people buy?
Because they want to own their own home.
That's right. It's desire.
Desire. I have a lot of desires.
Yeah.
A desire to be rich and famous.
Desire for the American dream.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Al, So when I have my own house, I can do my renovations. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to worry about the landlord raising my rent.
Right.
Or the landlord selling the property and throwing me out.
Correct.
Yes.
You just have to worry about the government raising your taxes.
Yeah, but that's pretty predictable.
And fixing anything that breaks.
Oh, that $8,000 roof.
But no, there is a lot more freedom in being in your own home. You don't have to. You feel like you're finally outside of the almighty hand that kind of resided over you, whether you're renting or even if you're. I mean, a lot of single men are at home with mom and dad still. So. Yeah.
Speaking of, how old were you?
I cannot
recall when you flew the coop.
I don't know. I was. Things keep going this way. I might be going back home with mom and dad if this talk keeps up. Although they do live on the beach in New York, you know.
Oh, yes. Nice and far away.
Far away. All I have to worry about is the seagulls.
Mm-hmm. That's back. All you have to keep telling yourself, yeah, that. That's to, all you got
to
worry about.
I'm going back to Breezy Point.
Uh-huh. Okay. Have a ball. All right. Okay. Well, that was interesting information. How about the listing for the day? We'll wrap it up with a listing.
Were they ever ready? The time is up. Talking about single men and homes and daydreaming.
I know.
No, renting
and then it's all over.
Yeah, when you're having fun.
It's all over. It's all over but the singing. All right. We're going to talk about, we have a lovely listing. It's listed by Debbie Saar. It's 2174 Port Royal Road in Clark Summit. It's land. It's 7.35 acres. It's listed for $185,000. The lot dimensions, this is big, 300 by 1,137. I'm looking at a picture of it here. It's beautiful. The topography of the land as it's rolling. It's a 7.35 acre lot with fabulous views. It's cleared. It needs well and septic. It had a previous perk test. It's a lovely location in the Abington School District. And the taxes right now are $1,620. If you build a house on it, they'll reassess it. But it's with great views. I wish I could take my house and put it up there. And could I be single? No, I'm sorry. $185,000. That's listed by Debbie Saw.
Thank you, Pat.
Single man live up there?
I don't know. We'll have to see. And our tip of the day, we always like to close with the tip, is the best thing consumers can do when they're unable to make their mortgage payment is to immediately contact their lender and then find a financial counselor through a reputable organization. And one that we have recommend often is the PA Housing Finance Agency. That's PHFA. And you can go to their website at www.phfa.org. The eligibility requirements of PHFA's Homeowners Emergency Mortgage Assistance Program helps keep people in their homes. And the program aids homeowners who, through no fault of their own, are financially unable to make their mortgage payments. To be eligible, applicants must be PA residents who own and occupy, be at least 60 days delinquent in their mortgage payments, be suffering financial hardship through no fault of their own, and demonstrate reasonable prospects of being able to resume normal mortgage payments after the Homeowners Emergency Mortgage Assistance Program funding ends. So visit www.phfa.org. That concludes today's Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker, with myself, Jackie Ruddy, Pat Devaney, and Jessica. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody.
And Pat and I are with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. So if you have any questions during the week, you can feel free to email us.
At questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com.
Or visit us at jruddy.com. That's jruddy.com to view our listings or search the MLS. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable, hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.